This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Was your mic on when I swore? So then I just hit the dump button for no reason. I got to be careful up in here. Microphones everywhere. That's one of the first things they tell you in broadcasting. Don't swear in the studio. But then I'm me. So, crisis averted. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Rob Rossi is going to be joining us there in a couple of moments. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Sidney Crosby yesterday, he met with the media, he faced the music, he was asked about his contract.
Do you have the intention of signing an extension when you can this summer, when it's possible?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm going to talk to Kyle and have a conversation with him, but we'll see. I think it's something that I'll have conversations with him about.
So there's Sid. He says he'll talk to Kyle. What I didn't hear there was, yes, I would like to be a Penguin for life, and that might not be a fair thing for me to expect him to say. But just as a Penguins fan who adores Sidney Crosby, I wanted to hear that yesterday, and we didn't get it. But guys like Rob Rossi have been holding strong for the long haul here, saying that Sidney Crosby will stay here for the long haul. Rob Rossi joins us right now on that Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Rob, you still believe Sidney Crosby will remain a Penguin for life?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, there's nothing to see here. He wasn't asked directly that question. When he's asked directly that question, as I did before the deadline, specifically about, you know, whether the Jake Gensel trade would have any impact, he said very plainly at each turn, I've always said that. That's what I'm going to do. I guess we are in a never say never world, but look, I would be very surprised if Sidney Crosby does not have an extension either on July 1st or shortly after. I do believe it's going to be somewhere in the 3 to 4 year range, maybe slightly more than his $8.7 million annual AAV. Although I don't know that he won't ultimately decide to do that, but he's going to finish his career in Pittsburgh. That's going to be the only place he plays. And the Penguins know it because the ownership has mandated it. And his agent has been very clear that the conversations with Kyle Dubas are going to be as much about, you know, the length and the finances as they are what direction this is going to go in for the Penguins. And you know, Sidney Crosby wields the most power and influence of anybody in that organization. And anybody that's telling you different just doesn't want to acknowledge reality.
Rob, what really matters to Sidney Crosby right now, you know, 36 years old, coming off of a year that he played at a high, high level, but they missed the playoffs again 2 years in a row. What's his number one goal, you think, right now? Is it winning cups? Is it just, you know, playing the rest of his career with Malkin and Letang? Is it just being simply a Pittsburgh Penguin? If you know, get into his mind, what do you think he wants to accomplish right now?
In his mind, all three. And he doesn't concede that that's impossible. Whether he's correct or not, I mean, that's to be proven. But he believes that those guys made a commitment to this franchise that deserved a commitment through the end of their careers, which they received a couple of years ago from this ownership group. And by the way, the first significant move this ownership group made was to sign Malkin and Letang. He believes that that group, and with the right management, can be a Stanley Cup team again. And he believes that playing in Pittsburgh is an important thing. And you got to remember, Sidney Crosby's two major hockey influences are Steve Yzerman, who did that with Detroit and then came home after a successful run in Tampa to, you know, home, so to speak, to be the Red Wings general manager, and Mario Lemieux. And there's no athlete in the history of professional sports more synonymous with one franchise than Mario Lemieux. So I think he believes all three of those things. What's important to his, the people around him, and I think, you know, Sidney too, but is being given a clear plan from Kyle Dubas about how they're going to turn this thing around in short order, because that's not been something that's been able to be presented to him, because Jim Rutherford was kind of throwing darts at the wall at the end. There was no real plan from previous management. And to be completely fair to Kyle Dubas, you know, and I, this is why I think there hasn't been a ton of criticism of him that's been legitimate, is that he inherited a mess last year and took some big swings. But he didn't really have a full evaluation of the franchise. Now he does. I think we judge him based off this summer, and I think this will probably be the most pivotal summer of his tenure, which I expect to be long because they've made a big financial commitment to him.
Rob Rossi from The Athletic, Penguins insider, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show, and we're very thankful for this. It's great information from Rob. Rob, we'll get to the coach coming up in a minute here, but as far as this roster construction like you're talking about, what Kyle Dubas is tasked with this offseason, do you think if everything were to go right, that he can put enough around the core to make them a team that could threaten to win a playoff series or two?
Yeah, but I think some of this is out of their control too. I mean, every team is experiencing a salary cap spike. As you've seen, the East is not blessed with great teams. Some of the teams that are at the top now, you would presume are sort of back on the way down at some point soon. Carolina, they've been in this a long time. The Rangers, oh, they got some more young players, but their best players are all older. Toronto's never won. Boston, you know, I think we're all kind of scratching our heads how Boston does this every year. So yeah, I can go down the list. Tampa. Kyle's challenge, I think, is going to be figuring out how to navigate the 12 contracts with movement difficulties. And, you know, he has said, and I assume this is still true, we'll find out today, that, you know, the big three and Carlson are going to be part of this mix. I've been told that, you know, they weren't interested when they were approached of trading Brian Rust at the deadline or Marcus Pedersen. So you assume those two are part of the mix. So that's six. I think the goaltending's a question. I know what they said yesterday. I wasn't there. We weren't able to get back for that. But I know what they said yesterday about the goaltending. I think there's, you know, I think conversations are in play about what the combination is going to be next year. I think the challenge for Kyle Dubas is to make decisions on guys like Riley Smith, to make decisions on guy like Ricard Raquel, maybe a Tristan Jarry, to see if he can make hockey trades for those guys to get younger guys in here, to get different types of guys in here, maybe more cost-effective guys in here. He has said he wants to make the team younger. That's one way you can do it. It might not be an obvious win as a trade, but that's one way you can do it. And I think, you know, the other biggest thing for Kyle is, you know, how do they maximize the talent they have? The truth is, last year, I think, showed that when you bring a bunch of new guys in, it can take a lot of time for this thing to come together. How do you sort of build on the strengths that they established down the stretch, but make the necessary changes? And really, when you're doing that, what you're asking him to do is make a solid evaluation of, are the guys that he inherited or brought in, are they going to take significant steps forward next season or not? And if not, how do you replace them with people that will quickly? It's not easy. He thinks it's doable, and I think we owe him the chance to show us that it is, but it hasn't happened yet in the NHL, where a team that's had the success like the Penguins in this cap era hasn't hit a sustained lull before trying to build back up. And that challenge remains. And I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm not saying it won't happen. We don't know yet.
Rob, do you think that Fenway Sports Group, Kyle Dubas, Sidney Crosby, and the team still think that Mike Sullivan is a championship coach?
Yes, absolutely. No doubt in my mind. I think there could be changes to Mike Sullivan's staff. I base that more off the contracts of the assistants, at least Todd Reardon and Mike Vellucci, to my understanding, are expiring. But yeah, I mean, if Mike Sullivan wasn't going to be the coach here, I don't believe he would have spoken yesterday. I believe we would have known that going into the, you know, final game, given everything that would have come out. You know, Mike Sullivan's committed to this. I don't think, look, I think Mike Sullivan would be the first to tell you there's a lot of things he can do better, but I do think he's still a guy whose message is getting through. I think Mike Sullivan needs a certain type of player and a certain type of roster to maximize the way his teams want to play. I think when you saw the younger legs come in this year, and the youth in general, I think the knock on Mike Sullivan's been he doesn't want to play those players. I would argue that they haven't had enough quality of those players to do that until recently. And Kyle Dubas has done a really good job of bringing some more players into that system. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of confidence there. And, look, there's a reality here. He's got a three-year extension that's about to kick in, and it's not cheap. And he's paid like one of the most successful coaches in the NHL. He deserves that contract. And, you know, I know Fenway has a lot of money, but they haven't really shown a great interest with any of their other clubs of just eating money, you know, to throw, you know, bad money after bad if they want to make a coaching change. So I think Mike Sullivan's I think he's safe. And now maybe in season, if they struggle again, there's conversations there, but unless he wants out, which I don't believe he does, he's here.
Rob, last thing here for you, best guess. And I hate to do this to our guests, but best guess right now on April 19th, to put it in full context, will Tristan Jarry be a Penguin next year?
I'm going to say yes. I think that's going to be a challenging contract to move, because the cap isn't going up enough where I think the Penguins could take on some bad assets in return, which they might have to do. And I'm not saying Tristan Jarry is a bad asset. Let me be clear. I know I wrote something that, you know, certainly didn't please the Penguins the other day. I think Tristan Jarry is a good goalie. I do think Tristan Jarry might benefit from a change of scenery. And I think the Penguins might benefit from a different approach and goal. Where you're at, where the Penguins are right now, and seeing that Alex Nedeljkovic, if he stays, would get a raise, you don't want to invest too much in that position unless you are, you know, really sure it's going to work. And it worked at times this year, and at times it didn't. So, but I think that's going to be a hard contract to move, not impossible, but I would guess he would come into camp and be that guy and probably even be the, you know, the 1A. But I think, you know, I don't think his future here is guaranteed for those 5 years, the remaining 4 years. And maybe it will come to an end sooner if they can strike a deal that benefits everybody. I don't have a lot of intelligence to say that that's what they're looking to do, but I know that there's people around the league that expect them to explore that trade.
I don't have a lot of intelligence in general, Rob. I appreciate you joining us, man. Thank you so much.
I have no idea if I was in frame for any of this. You guys are asking a blind guy to try to shape himself. So good luck with everything. Thank you. We can talk hockey anytime.
My man.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob. We got the anytime from Rob.
Anytime.
And the PM team guys were trying to get him on yesterday, and Rob had stuff to do. He wouldn't go on with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Second time this week.
Wow.
We got Rob. We got the insider. We got Neil Shipley. Mm.
For the record, he was beautifully framed as well.
Well, we also got a text. People are interested in this. You can watch 93.7thefan.com on the web stream. All of our guests now, you'll be able to see their bright and smiling and happy faces. Someone texted in and said, Rob is coming across the air crystal clear. Hope all guests eventually sound like this.
Sounds great.
It does sound great. We just need to get something in the studio so we can see their faces not on delay.
Right.
Yeah. Looking at you, Craig Riley.
Mm-hmm.
We love you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up next, there's a ton there from Rob to react to, and I don't know if we're even going to have enough time to do it in the next segment. We'll get into it. We might have to span it a couple. He said a lot. They're all worth revisiting. The Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Do you think Sid will play his entire career here in Pittsburgh? Rob certainly does.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rob Rossi covered a lot of ground with us in the last segment about Sidney Crosby's future, Mike Sullivan's future, Tristan Jarry's future, and more. We'll break that down for you in just a moment here. But I need help on the text line. Actually, Doran needs help on the text line at 412-928-9370. During the break, he just looks up at me and says, "What's a good spring beer?" So just text us your favorites at 412-928-9370. I love my guys at Hampton Beer Outlet, and they've got all of the craft beers on sale today only. And so a good Pittsburgh craft could go a long way. I'm also going to drink Yingling this weekend.
Yeah, you did say that. That was random.
Well, it's random, yes, but not so much for me, because I'm watching the Phillies Pirates games last week, and there's the giant Yingling sign in the outfield. I was like, I could go for a Ying. I haven't had a Yingling in a while. And then I'm watching the Flyers pregame show before their must-win game for the Penguins the other night, and there's a giant Yingling sign in the background. I said, all right, fine, it's decided.
Yep, signal.
That's the signal. So text us, 412-928-9370. Should we start with Crosby? I think we start there. Rob says that when he's asked directly, Sidney Crosby, do you want to be here? Like, does the Gensel trade affect anything? Which is what Rob asked him prior to the deadline. Crosby will answer, yeah, I want to be here. No one did ask the question yesterday. Like, hey, what are you looking at for terms? Stuff like that. Those questions were asked. You play at such a high level at this age. That was asked by Tim Benz. Shelly Anderson asked about the contract. And Sid didn't come right out and say, oh, yeah, I want to be here for the rest of my career. He also wasn't asked, do you want to be here for the rest of your career? So I'm going to err on the side of Rob in the conversations that he's had with Sid, and that's going to put my mind at ease a little bit. He also said, you asked a great question, Doran. Kudos to you. Maybe I'll buy you some spring beer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know that's never happening. you could not have asked this better, I don't think. Big J journalist Doran Dicker. He's not just a football player. Yep. We knew that.
Yep.
Big J journalist.
Yep.
Do Crosby, Fenway, and Kyle Dubas all have faith that Mike Sullivan's the guy? And the answer was yes. Well, then what more do you need to know? He's not going to go anywhere. And Rob also went on to say he thought if Sully were to be terminated, that they wouldn't have run him out there yesterday to give the press conference. So, okay, Mike Sullivan's going to remain. I don't like it. I like the guy. I think he's a hell of a coach. I just think you need new blood.
But Rob did say, and this is where things go hand in hand, everybody knows this, where the GM needs to work with the coach, that whenever that there's this notion that Sullivan isn't a proponent of playing younger players. But Rob did say that he hasn't had the quality younger players that were worth playing throughout the time that we've all had this notion about him. And we saw this year, whenever they did have younger players, that it was a little bit different. So this is where, in my mind, this is where, in probably everybody's mind, where it goes hand in hand, that Dubas knows what Sullivan needs and to get the quality players in there and for them to be younger players, and then it might work. And they think that, and they have the faith in Sullivan to get the most out of the younger players if they're of the stature of being able to be a product on the ice.
I do think that's fair, because Sully was asked about whether or not he's going to watch the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins in the playoffs, and he said, yeah, he'll keep an eye on it, but then he mentioned like two guys, like the goalie and then one more player. They don't have a lot.
Mm-mm.
They don't have a lot in the farm. Now, what I would say is guys like Shea, guys like St. Ivany, I would have liked them to get their shot earlier in the year. A guy like Drew O'Connor, I wish would get more push earlier in the year. He only really found his role once Jake Guentzel was traded. I would have liked to see them explore moving him up in the lineup a little bit earlier. It hasn't just been this year, though.
Right.
Like, Sully has been loath to play younger guys. Like, if Noel Achari were healthy, he'd have been playing. When Jansen Harkins finally got healthy, Radim Zahorna came out of the lineup, and Jansen friggin' Harkins went in. If you take Harkins, if you take a couple of these other guys that Kyle Dubas signed, and you compare their statistics from a goal-scoring perspective with Tristan Jarry, Jarry had more goals. So I don't think a lot of those guys are worth playing. And part of that's on Dubas, too, though, for bringing them in.
Right.
Bringing in a Noel Achari, just for an example. Bringing in Ryan Graves and spending money on him instead of believing in the younger talent you have in Ryan Shea and in Jack St. Ivany. So I want to see more young guys play going forward, to quote Mike Sullivan. And I don't know that he's necessarily the guy who's going to want to do that. And it does come down to the conversation between Dubas and Sullivan. And if I'm Dubas, I say, to your point, if you want to come back, man, you got to play the young guys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to come back?
Yes.
Okay, then there we go. I would make it almost, it would be something that would be mandated for me if I'm Kyle Dubas, is what I would do. Now, what Rob did say is, just because he thinks Sullivan is like a lock to come back next year, he did say he would leave open the opportunity that they could fire him midseason. And I've heard Starkey talk about that and Zeiss talk about that. Man, if you think that you might fire a guy midseason,
that's half the battle.
Right. I would just do it now. Now, I do get that whenever you see those things happen, they can spark a team. We've seen it here. We saw it with Sullivan. We saw it with Bielsma coming in for Therrien. We saw it with Patrick Waugh this year in New York with the Islanders. You can get that punch, that jolt midseason. You're also going to have the perfect replacement on the bench already. And so Todd Reirden, is not expecting to come back.
Right.
So
there's going to be overhaul.
Yeah. I think if you want the best candidate, though, you have to hire him in the offseason. The pool of prospective candidates should be bigger. And if you hire a guy as an assistant coach that would maybe replace Sullivan next year, is he a guy that would have otherwise garnered attention as a head coach other places? Probably not. So I think you have to weigh that, too. I'd rather Sullivan be out. Like the guy, I think he's a good coach, forever indebted for the two championships, but see ya. We'll revisit this coming up at 9 o'clock, reacting to some of more of Rob Rossi's comments. We'll edit some out and react to them coming up again, like I said, at 9. But up next, an ESPN NFL insider had a mock trade that the Steelers could make on draft day. Do we like it? How realistic is it?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bill Barnwell, ESPN, came up with a mock trade for the Steelers in the draft. We'll get to it in a minute. We've experienced our struggles today on the Fan Morning Show. Nicholas Harry Callis took a bathroom break in the middle of the first segment. Doran, his allergies are so bad that his ears are terribly clogged, and he couldn't hear his alarm go off. So you showed up like 3 minutes late. No big deal. I was just reminded of my foible this morning, my screw-up. About 3:30 a.m., I'm putting on my jacket, bump my keys, set my car alarm off.
Oh, God.
Whole neighborhood. My neighbor just texted me and said, "Hey, hope you're having a good show today after your big show this morning." They have a 2-year-old. Of course, we have the 3-month-old and the 4-year-old in our house. I probably woke up every kid in the
neighborhood.
We had a nice new family move in next door. They have a kid who's just about my oldest age. Probably woke them up. What a disaster. And it probably lasted for 10 seconds. It felt like it was a minute and a half.
That's the most, like, scrambling, like, situation you could ever be in, right? Like whenever your car alarm goes off and you're just like, is that mine? Is that mine? Whose is that? Is that mine? I hope it's not mine because that's embarrassing. And then you try to find your keys and then you try to click it 1,000 times and it doesn't work. And then that finally works.
It's terribly
You're always just scrambling.
You're a loser if you let that happen. Yeah. You just feel like such a dork. And then I started to get paranoid. Did somebody else set the car alarm off? Because I had just turned the outside light on. Did somebody else set the alarm off and now my light and the alarm scared him while I'm looking down up and down the street? Couldn't have been my stupid ass. No, it was had to have been a burglar. This coming to you from the guy who called the police on his mother-in-law and the guy who called the police on himself when he parked his car in the wrong spot and thought it was stolen. So we're on it today. What's up, Callis?
Yeah, I think you have a little bit of a short fuse in your mind. You're always worried about making everything as best as it can be, very meticulous, not wasting time. Yeah, you just get a little in your head.
If most people's baseline anxiety level is at 0 or 5, mine is always at 10.
Mm-hmm.
So the littlest thing that happens, all of a sudden I'm at a 15 and I'm losing my
head. You're out of it.
Yeah. Would you like to hear about Bill Barnwell's trade proposal?
Sure.
It's between the Steelers and the Cowboys. Round 1 NFL draft. The Cowboys would get the 20th overall pick. The Steelers would get the 24th pick. The Steelers would also get the 87th pick in the third round. And they would get the 174th pick, which is a fifth round pick. And the Cowboys would also get a fourth round pick. Should I say that again better?
No, that was great.
Okay.
I mean, unless you want to say it to the listeners.
I don't know if they picked up on it. I don't know if I'm making sense. My anxiety level's at a 15.
Say it again.
Steelers get the 24th pick, the 87th pick, and the 174th pick. The Cowboys get the 20th pick and the 119th pick. And the reasoning, as written by Bill Barnwell, was, quote, the Steelers could stand to add another offensive lineman, but they would probably be looking toward a tackle as opposed to guard. This wasn't a deep team a year ago, and the days when they had homegrown talent waiting to burst through the ranks up and down the roster appear to be in the past. I'd like to see Pittsburgh add more depth across the board with this draft, and Mike Tomlin's team would have 5 top 100 picks if they did this deal.
That would be a really good deal because this is a very top-heavy draft. The bottom half of the draft isn't as great, so
top-heavy like the first few rounds.
The first 3 rounds.
Yeah, so within those top 100 picks.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, and I mean, we've been saying this. I've been saying this for a couple months, like trade back. I feel like there's going to be a lot of evaluations on guys that will have first-round evaluations that are going to fall. And if you could trade back 4 spots, you know that the Cowboys, what, they don't need a tackle. They need a center maybe, though.
Yeah, so they could get Barton is what Barnwell went on to write.
As a center?
Barnwell said the Cowboys view him as the best center in the draft.
And he himself said that that's lazy analysis, right?
That was Fatanu.
So, okay.
But Barton played center his freshman year at Duke and has since played tackle. So teams either evaluate him as a tackle or both.
He's a 6'5". He would be a 6'5 center. Am I wrong there?
Well, here's the thing for me.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Caboli lately has said he could see the Steelers trading up. I think Fittipaldo said the Steelers could consider trading up. Hell, he said it with us. I have always thought trading back makes more sense, just like you said.
Well, crew.
Like, if they were a tackle and a center away from being a Super Bowl contender, then I would trade up and get my preferred tackle and then hope that I could trade up again in the second round and get a center.
Yep.
But they don't only have 2 holes. They've got tackle, center, wide receiver, corner, and really defensive line. And that's probably the order that I would rank them. So to get more picks in the top 100, you're throwing more darts at the board with the thought that you could add players at each position of need. And, heck, if you are so inclined, if you've got 5 picks within the top 100, you get your tackle in the first round at pick 24 that you get from the Cowboys in this hypothetical. And then you've now got 3 third-round picks. If you want to go up in the second round and get a center, that's how you do it.
Right.
Is you package one of those picks and you go up and you do it. And so you could still address needs. You could address needs with the players that you would prioritize. It makes a lot more sense to me to trade back than trade forward. You're going to mortgage losing a later round pick or maybe more to move up 4 or 5 spots and get a guy that might be better than the guy you'd pick at 24. I just wouldn't do that.
No.
Or a 20.
Unless you're
absolutely
sure in love with somebody.
Yes.
And this goes into the reason. This goes into the thought process of the first three rounds last year were pretty good for the Steelers.
They were.
The picks, that, I mean, they played a lot. I mean, even Nick Herbig on defense made plays this year, played a lot.
He made the play of the game in that Seattle game. I mean, maybe the play of the season at that point.
Darnell Washington, Keanu Benton, you got Joey Porter Jr., you got Broderick Jones. So, you know that you can get the most in the first three rounds. And with this being such a top-heavy draft in the first three rounds, that would be – and then, like you said, like even if you feel like you needed to trade up to get a certain player later on after the first round, you still have your accrued picks to be able to package those together to get up. I would do that in a second.
Graham Barton is 6'5", by the way.
Yeah.
I thought that was the case. I didn't have the answer right in the forefront of my mind, and I thought if I entertained answering your question that I would lose my train of thought and the segment would go off the rails.
I thought you thought that I was taking the segment off the rails and talking about a point that wasn't the actual point and you didn't want to talk about it, so you moved on.
No, I would have entertained talking about it, but I wanted to talk about both, and I thought if I would chase that, then we would have talked about neither, and then I would have been really mad at myself at the end of the segment.
So you're basically saying what I've said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Thorne, shut up. All right, let's go for it.
Well, but it wasn't, wasn't about you. It's not you, it's me.
No.
But
in the time, it was me, and now you're like, okay, like let me kind of smooth this over and say that it was me.
I didn't want to say yes to something that you thought was correct and I thought was correct, but I didn't know was correct.
And it wasn't even really the point of the discussion.
That's right. It's you, not me.
See?
I would almost bet my house that they make a trade. And in like a sexy trade. Not like moving up a couple spots in the fourth round. Not moving up a couple spots in the seventh round. No. They're either going to move up and get their guy. Their guy. Or they're going to move back in accrue picks.
Or they're going to trade for, like, Courtland Sutton.
Yes. Yes.
Or a player trade.
Yes. We have seen that there's an aggressive nature with this front office, and people have spit on me, basically, whenever I've said they're not doing things the way that Colbert did it, because people will bring up the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade. Oh, okay, fair enough. This offseason is aggressive in a way that I don't know that we would have ever seen Kevin Colbert be aggressive. You go out and you get Patrick Queen. You overhaul the quarterback room. This is a new line of thinking with this group, and so I imagine they're going to be aggressive. If that means moving up, okay. If that means moving back, I like it more. I do think one of those two things will happen. It's not me, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, Steelers insider thinks he's got a good read on what the club could be planning on at pick number 20. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My wife just texted me, dude, and goes, too bad we don't live next door to Doran. You could have woken him up with your car alarm.
That'd have been perfect.
Oh, what a day we've had so far. These are the fun days. The Penguins didn't play last night. That's not necessarily fun. Neither did the Pirates off day. But it gives us freedom to just...
be us.
Yeah, choose our own adventure. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up in 10 minutes, two big stories today. We have Rossi reacting to our question about Crosby's future. And then Paul Skeens, he's shoved again in AAA. What does this mean for him? What does it all mean for the Penguins? What does it all mean for the Pirates? We'll do that coming up in 10 minutes. But Ray Fittipaldo, he joined the PM team yesterday, and he said, if it's between Barton from Duke, your 6'5 center, Dorn, and Amarius Mims, that he thinks the Steelers will pick Barton.
I know why. Do
tell
you know
me.
Why?
No, why don't you tell me?
I mean, do you know why? Do you take a guess why?
They think he's got position flexibility?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want a guy that could do multiple things. I want a guy. I want a center or I want a tackle. I want to solve a problem. This whole Barton thing flying up draft boards, it makes me really uneasy. Because 2 weeks ago, I'm not thinking about him at all. A month ago, I'm not thinking about him. A week ago, I'm not thinking about him at all. And now all of a sudden, he's the darling. And he did meet with the Steelers. He's not my favorite center. He's my third favorite center. I'm not an offensive line guru. Don't give me that look. I'm not going to stand here and talk about hand usage.
But you're talking about flying up draft boards. Like, these are the actual team's draft boards. These are Mel Kiper's draft board. These are Daniel Jeremiah's draft board.
Okay, wait a second here.
These aren't the actual teams.
I'm not going to put you on the spot here, but you've got a guy who's always right. What did he say about Barton?
I haven't looked at it.
Well, okay.
I'll look at it in the break.
Do that and let me know.
Okay, I will.
And so here's the thing. Like, there could be medicals with JPJ. People are kind of guessing about that. He's done the gambit. He's talked to teams. And then all of a sudden, the intel is saying that guys are falling back. I will say, I'm wondering if all this center talk is smokescreen. We know that they had Mitch Morse. They need a center. We know they need a center. I think they're going to take a center. But not at 20. I'm kind of getting, and maybe this is because it's what I want them to do. I'm kind of getting Malik Willis vibes here. Like, everyone thought Malik Willis, if the Steelers are going to take a quarterback at 20, they were going to take him. The only guy that really didn't was Peter King. And now he's out of the whole equation. We can't ask Peter King what they're going to do anymore. Everyone thought it would be Malik Willis, who wound up being Kenny Pickett. And that was the previous regime. I'm just hoping, center, everyone's saying they're going to take a center. They should go tackle 20. I'm hoping it's misinformation, so you're not going to have teams jump over them for a tackle. That's what I'm hoping.
I really think that the centers are going to get pushed to the mid to late second round.
Yeah.
And I think that they think that as well. But we can agree that their first 20th overall pick is going to be a guy that they've had in for a visit, right? Or no?
Oh, yeah.
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 Because they did it last year. Everyone there. Yeah. Okay.
Top four picks last year
were
visit guys. And that's a Colbert thing, too. I mean, they've done that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know we could take a stab and say one of these 30 guys will be their pick at 20.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for sure. And you'll probably be able to guess out through all the way through the third round.
Like, I'm saying it's not going to be Brock Bowers.
Right.
But if he's there.
And they canceled their meeting. They never wound up meeting with the quarterback, with Michael Penix Jr.
Oh, they didn't?
Yeah, he never came in.
Okay.
So, much ado about nothing there. We got a full week of draft coverage coming your way starting on Monday. I mean, I guess starting with every show we've done going back months, but we're really going to get full bore into it next week. Doug Whaley will be in on Wednesday, our draft coverage. You, me, Donnie Football, Doug Whaley.
Jim Haslett,
7 o'clock until the end of time, coming up on Thursday. But coming up next, Crosby was asked about his contract yesterday. It made me panic a bit. I'm less panicked now after talking to Rob Rossi. We'll tell you why. And Paul Skeens was unbelievable again. When are we going to see that guy in the black and gold? We'll talk about that, too. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here. So are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. Today, high 68.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.